We're excited to kick off this season again with Midwestern Seminary back as our flagship sponsor for the spring. Located in Kansas City, Missouri, Midwestern Seminary exists for the church by biblically educating God-called men and women to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Midwestern's For the Church vision permeates everything they do, from classroom experience, faculty membership, and includes their new 100% tuition scholarship for first-year residential master students through their For the Church cohorts. It's unbelievable. You have to go check this out. Even if you're unable to relocate to campus, Midwestern Seminary offers flexible and fully online undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees through their global campus, which is designed to allow you to stay rooted in your current ministry context. If you're ready to begin your theological education, whether to move forward in your vocation, to be a more faithful leader in the life of your church, to be a more active and engaged disciple maker in your local context, I could not more heartily encourage you to apply to Midwestern Seminary for free with the code KNOWINGFAITH. You can apply to Midwestern Seminary for free with code KNOWINGFAITH at mbts.edu/apply. Go check out all that God is doing at Midwestern Seminary this year. Welcome to After the Fact, a Knowing Faith mini episode where we look to take a big question and address it in just a few minutes. Our After the Fact episodes this season are brought to you by our season sponsor, Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. You've heard JT and Jen and I talk about how much we love Midwestern's motto, which is For the Church. That resonates so deeply with our goal and the goal of Knowing Faith, which is to see a theological movement that is from For the Church. And joining us today is Jared Wilson. Jared serves as assistant professor of pastoral ministry, author in residence, and the general editor for The Church, or the For the Church blog and resourcing. In addition, he serves as the director of the Pastoral Training Center at Liberty Baptist Church. He's the author of numerous books, including, but certainly not limited to, I always have to say that with Jared, I was giving him a hard time off air because this list, I feel like it's going to be the whole episode in 2 years, but these are a few books of the many books he's written: Friendship with a Friend of Sinners, Gospel Driven Ministry, and the forthcoming book releasing May 7th, The Storied Life, Christian Writing as Art and Worship, which is what we're going to talk about today. Jared, thanks for jumping on.
Kyle, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you again, brother.
You got it. You know, the first book I ever read of yours, and I'm blanking on the title, which every author loves to hear. It had on there like all these like toys on there. What was that? It was a book about the gospel, shocker, but there were like toys and like pop culture things on there. What book am I thinking of?
That was my very first book. It's called Your Jesus is Too Safe.
That was the book right there. That was the first.
I love that cover, man.
It was a great cover.
There's a great story behind that cover, which we probably don't have time to go into, but I found that image for them to use because the images that they had sent, the cover designs, were not great. Okay. There was a Jesus bobblehead that they wanted to use. They couldn't get the rights to the bobblehead or something weird like that. And then they had Jesus playing, it was like a figurine of Jesus playing soccer with some kids or something. And I was like, I'll find something. And so I found that image, which I really liked. And
I remember it. I've still got it in my shelf on my shelf at the office. So, but that's not the book we're talking about today. We are talking about if you're listening to this before May 7th, then it's the forthcoming book, The Storied Life, Christian Writing as Art and Worship. If you're listening to it after May 7th, then it has released, and it is a book on Christian writing as art and worship. Jared, here's the question. Let's say that the Knowing Faith audience, they love their Bible. They love their Bible. They want to read God's word. They want to hear God's word taught. They are bought in on God's word. We've talked to them about Bible literacy. If we already have God's words, why is it worth spending time reading or writing anything beyond that?
Yeah, man, it's a good question. The sincerity of it, I really appreciate, because, you know, people who have this concern or have this thought, and I've actually, you know, received this question before. It's not just a theoretical kind of thing. The sincerity of it is simply like, you know, shouldn't we master the Word of God? Shouldn't God's, you know, if we are committed to sola scriptura, shouldn't we, and the sufficiency of Scripture, shouldn't, you know, we put all of our time into that and not you know, waste time, I guess, yeah. in some sense, or what's the benefit? And the benefit, I think, is the same as the benefit of preaching and teaching. Like, why do we still have preaching and teaching ministries in the church?
Yeah.
And it's because the Word of God needs to be contextualized, needs to be explained. If you're looking for, like, the basis of expositional teaching or preaching in the Scriptures themselves, you have, like, in Nehemiah 8, for instance, where Ezra and the scribes, they're giving the sense. They read the Word of God, it says, and they gave the sense so that people could understand the reading. And so the reason why I think we continue to need good Christian books and good Christian, teaching, certainly, you know, there's an abundance of bad, bad books and bad teaching out there, heretical teaching.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and name them?
We could do that. We don't have enough time for this episode. And you know, and certainly none of those can or should ever replace the centrality of God's word. You know, we ought to be like the Bereans, who always measured what Paul taught against the Scriptures. So any book we read, any sermon we hear, we should be able to say, all right, that lines up with God's word, and to that extent, I'm going to receive it as quality teaching, as edifying teaching. But if it doesn't, then I'm not going to receive it that way. But for the same reason, good preaching and teaching adorns God's word and exposes God's word and contextualizes God's word. I think good Christian writing can do the same. You know, Paul, at the end of 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy, bring me my books. And Charles Spurgeon had a great, kind of run on this in one of his sermons, where he just went off on the need for good books and the need for good writing, and essentially says, here's a guy who was an apostle. He received special revelation, and yet he wanted the books. Here's a guy who went to the third heaven, and yet he wanted books. And this is a guy who, for 30 years had been following Christ, and yet he wanted books. So if Paul was not above the need for, books that helped him and edified him and strengthened him, then I don't think any of us is above that either.
That's right. So, okay, you're a writer. You've written a ton. You're still writing. I love to ask this question of writers, and since we've been talking about why read anything else, who are some of your favorite Christian writers to read? Like, some of the people that you're like, wow, I've really profited from them. Obviously, there's probably, you're like, oh, well, on what, and and what season of life, and what genre, but just who comes to mind when you think of, like, wow, these are Christian writers that I think have had a huge impact on me?
Well, it's hard to overstate the impact of my favorite writer, and it's somewhat cliched to mention him, but C.S. Lewis has been, a guide and a help to me since I was a kid, not just reading the Narnia stories, but even in high school, reading through his essays and Mere Christianity. And so, 40 years later or so, I've been still profiting from him. And I think the benefit you have from Lewis, apart from the intellect and the just a Mere Christianity, just a focus on the main things and the centrality of God, but you have someone who knows how to write. So his background in literature, particularly in Romantic literature and the classics, he brings a sensibility that kind of re-enchants our understanding of how the Christian faith applies to today. And because of that, his works, I think, are ever, relevant as we face a lot of the cultural, chaos going on today. Folks are rediscovering things like even his, novels like That Hideous Strength, or the, especially nonfiction works like Abolition of Man and other books, and going, he was writing to his time, and yet it seems timeless. The other thing that I think, why Lewis is such a model for me is he was very versatile. He wrote in so many different lanes and had, different genres that he was sort of playing around in, and not really playing, but operating in, from poetry and fiction to, of course, straightforward sort of Christian living and devotional writing, but also cultural, commentary and literary criticism. And, those are the kind of things that a lot of writers you know, we tend to be more niche today. Sure. And I don't know if the marketplace has a place except for maybe a few kind of, you know, guys who have really big platforms to write in all these different spheres. But that's an inspiration to me to say, like, okay, how do I bring the gospel to bear? If gospel centrality is biblical, which I think it is, then that means we can bring the gospel to bear in all of life. And so he, you know, he remains an inspiration to me in terms of his versatility and his ability to kind of be a literary Swiss Army knife almost.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can do a lot worse than being like, yeah, C.S. Lewis has had a huge influence on me as a Christian.
Yeah.
You could pick worse people.
You know, there's some, I guess nitpicking we could do about some theology here and there when you get kind of in the finer points of things. And I wonder, if his conversion had happened earlier, if he had more years following Christ, if there were some things that, you know, that would have been, you know, more developed in some areas. But just in terms of, you know, the baseline faithful Christianity, applying the, you know, the truths of the Christian faith to so many different areas, I don't know that there's anybody better than him.
I agree with you 100% on that. Jared, thanks for jumping on with me today.
Thank you, Kyle.
After the Fact is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you're ready to take your next step in theological training, or if you want to really discover what it looks like to be a Christian writer, consider Midwestern Seminary and how their For the Church vision can equip you through formal theological education. You can learn more about how to get started at mbts.edu. Again, that's mbts.edu. Did this episode spark an interest to learn more about Jesus, the Bible, or theology? You can receive free theological training through Midwestern Seminary's For the Church Institute, which offers courses in Old and New Testament, Christian theology, and more, including the newly released course on missional leadership. Again, this is free theological training that you can use for your own equipping, for the equipping of those in your church, and it is available for groups or on your own. You can learn more and get started today at ftcinstitute.com. Again, that's ftcinstitute.com for theological training courses, free theological training courses today. Go check it out.